off the ball.
Rugby.
It's the first time I've seen a real confidence and a swagger in their attack. Cohesion in passing and stuff, and that's quite telling.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It's Mick McCarthy here with you. In for Owen until 10 p.m. tonight. Offaly's road to hurling obscurity appeared to be complete back in 2020 when they failed to get out of the Christy Ring Cup. Now, just 6 years later, they've knocked Kilkenny and Wexford out of the Leinster Championship, and they'll face Cork on Sunday in their first All-Ireland quarter-final in 22 years. The road there and back has been a difficult one. We'll talk to Brian Carroll after 8 o'clock tonight, who soldiered through that slide, and with Leo O'Connor, who is the Offaly under-20 manager, who guided the current crop of players through their All-Ireland winning underage career. Underway this week, though, is the slight matter of Cork, finalists in the last two All-Ireland finals and smarting from their one-point defeat to Limerick in the Munster final. We'll catch up with their captain, Dara Fitzgibbon, also after 8 o'clock tonight, who hasn't actually ruled out a return this weekend after his appendix surgery. With a URC final in Croke Park, a World Cup in full flow, and just the 8 knockout senior intercounty GAA games taking place this weekend, you probably thought that there wasn't any more room for any more sport. But that's because you completely forgot. We've got a US Open coming this week, or maybe that was just me that completely forgot about it. And it's in the famous, or maybe infamous, Shinnecock Hills. So Shane Ryan will join us later this hour to talk about the contenders and the course itself. And in the football show, we'll chat through Iran's draw with New Zealand last night. Keep an eye on France and Senegal. And we'll speak to Marcela Mora Iarraco, who, as Argentina, are set to make their tournament bow against Algeria at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting sick of this. 2 o'clock in the morning. Sorry, yeah. Ben's correcting me there. Yeah, yeah. So 1 o'clock would be an even better time. I'm just, look, get in touch with us on WhatsApp, 0879 180 180, or you can get in touch with us on social media at Off the Ball. Eve Conway is with us for the News Round. How are you, Eve?
I'm all good. How about you?
And Arthur is here with us. I'm all right. I suppose I was looking at the fixtures there and I was thinking, you know, the people that really want to just say, screw it, the World Cup's about watching every game, I'm going to reorganise my sleep, I'm going to do every, you know, Ben basically, at him, he's, one arm hasn't been as long as the other since last Thursday, but...
What does that mean? All right.
Anyway.
Thought that was like paying bills and stuff.
He's very tired. I think you're really, 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 the first real test of this World Cup for these people, 5 a.m., Austria versus Jordan.
All right.
What would you say the viewership figures will be like for that on RT or on the RT player or wherever it is that it's been broadcast?
Ooh, it's a great question.
Will it be in the hundreds?
I'd say higher. No.
Oh, I mean, like, could it fall as low as the hundreds?
No. Hundreds? I'm sure there's hundreds watching anyway, like normally.
It's way easier to watch than your 2 a.m.s.
Yeah.
If you're getting up for work at 6, you may as well get up for work at 5. And then
so you can watch Austria. You gotta get up. You're already up for work at 6 o'clock. You're going to get up an hour earlier so you can watch Austria versus Jordan.
It's the World Cup, yeah.
I'd say it definitely gets more viewers than 2 o'clock.
Than Argentina-Algeria?
Like, maybe there's
stay up for that.
There's a good crowd. I don't know if they would. Midweek.
There's World Cup hardcores out there.
But the World Cup hardcores are as interested in Austria-Jordan.
They're not. Don't be silly.
I just don't know. Like, but like, it is what it is. I don't mind.
You don't mind?
You just accept it. You're not going to see it all.
If it was the first game of the day, 5 o'clock would be fine. But...
Yeah, that is annoying. I do find that annoying.
You're not lasting until, watching it at 5 o'clock, like, for sure. It's just so late. Like, I mean, I don't know where this game has been played. It must be on the west coast, obviously, of America. But that's, like, it's a 9, 10... So it's in Santa Clara, which is basically San Francisco, home of the 49ers anyway, let's say. So that's been played at 9 o'clock local time. There's just no need for it. It's too late.
I suspect the oppressive heat might have something to do with it, no?
I don't know how oppressive it is in Northern California. They'll be fine.
We have all these hydration breaks now, you know, that everyone loves to keep the players safe and hydrated.
Are they forced to drink Powerade, do you think? Or do they just have to have water in Powerade bottles?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I don't think any of them are drinking Powerade.
No?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm not going to say anything.
No, don't dwell on it. But I don't know if it's...
All right, okay. So everybody's defending everything about this World Cup. That's fine. They don't have to drink Powerade. They can play the games whenever they want.
It seems
I want to watch Argentina. That's my thing.
Get
I want to
watch
Argentina.
It. Get up and watch it.
I'm not getting up. I have a life. Like, I have to go to work tomorrow.
What time are you in it?
Well, I still have to get up. I have to bring my kids to school. I'll have to get up at 7 o'clock. And then what am I going to do? Go back to bed for an hour?
You could, like, we were talking to Ben about this earlier. You could record it. Watch it back.
On my video tape. On my VCR.
Yeah. Watch it back.
Yeah. Nah. You'll know the score. We live in a modern world. You can't, like, do you know what I mean? I'm going to get 15 notifications on my phone about, like, you know, Messi's difficult World Cup start or whatever. I'll already know what happened.
So that's very easy to remedy. Notifications off.
Ah, you're making me do things now. You know,
I don't know what you want.
Just put the World Cup in Europe where it's supposed to be. Come on, let's face it. Jeez. Every World Cup should be in Germany. Do we not all agree? Do we not all secretly agree that that's what should happen? Can we not just say the quiet part out loud?
Every World Cup should be in Germany. There you go. There's that.
Germany, Spain and France on a rotation.
Oh God.
So you're looking forward to the next time where
and have more European teams as well.
Yeah, mostly in Europe next time, and then the three historic fixtures that you're just going to boycott out of principle.
No, I'm okay with them. That's fine. That's their one off. You can get up once, you know. I actually have enjoyed the venues and some of the atmospheres and everything like that so far. It's just too bloody late. I think it's just a case that I'm just getting really old. There's no chance of me staying up all night. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, maybe you guys could do it sometimes or pick and choose your games and whatever, but, oldness catches up with us all. Okay, what are we starting with tonight? Actually, before we start with the news round, we should talk a little bit about Offaly, Arthur, because we're going to talk about Brian Carroll and Leo O'Connor after 8 o'clock. They, I'm kind of really focused on this Christy Ring semi-final. I just found it to be... I watched her relegation game from the John McDonagh Cup in 2019 against Kerry. I think it was like on a stream on TG Cahir or something. Like, you know, it wasn't an easy game to find, I remember. And I remember kind of being a little bit kind of for Kerry because I thought there was still something interesting about a team kind of falling off so much. And it wasn't that you were rooting for it or anything like that, but I thought it was a better story. But when they didn't get back up and they didn't even reach the final of the Christy Ring the year after, I think that was when it kind of really hit home as like, God, I this is sad now. Like, we've lost the county. There aren't that many of them and we've lost one. So I can't really grasp that 6 years later, that just doesn't feel to be the case anymore. And even if they don't compete with Cork on Sunday, you don't feel like Offaly are getting relegated from Leinster anytime soon.
Maybe. Yeah, I get. Probably not. But it's. That's interesting. So you think it's sustainable then? That they're next year, they're kind of, if not, they're definitely challenging. Because, like, we could take as the. To the opposite point of what you're saying is like the. I suppose that the same year they got relegated was the year Wexford won Leinster. And you would probably say their fall has not been as great. Obviously, they're still there. But like, they're probably less of a contender now. I don't know if much is guaranteed in terms of... It's a bit of it's a great story. It's a great redemption arc. But it's still one of those where you're like... I'd say it's a lot easier to fall back, not Christy Ring level maybe, but it's a lot easier to fall back down than it is to get up to the next level.
Yeah, perhaps. And you do feel like Kilkenny will improve and Dublin are probably on a constant arc of improvement and so on. But at the same time, like, this is it's a big, huge group of players that are used to winning. Mm-hmm. Their underage performances this year have not been good. Actually, they caught some hidings in minor and under 20 level. But we'll hear from Brian and Leo later. Like, they'd be convinced that there's hurlers coming through. And if that can happen on a constant basis and the spread of the game and clubs around the county, in what is a small county, but has been confined to like a very, very small area around Birr that was creating all of Offaly's hurlers over the years, that's spreading throughout the county now in a really significant way. And the buzz, not to be kind of like going on vibes here, but there's definitely something to be said for the fact that a county is kind of like absolutely abuzz with the game again and with their team and with everything. Like, you know, if they can have massive occasions like this and they can draw with Kilkenny in the championship, they can draw with Dublin, they can beat Wexford and go, like, by the way, what happened after they drew with Kilkenny was they had to go and win their next two games. And they did. They beat Wexford. You know, it's a while since they've beaten Wexford in Championship. And then easily beat Kildare and kind of sustained it. So I just think there'd be a lot of good... It's not even that I think it's a definite. I just think there's a good chance that Offaly could actually go forward from this rather than either stagnate or fall back.
Fingers crossed. That'd be great. It'd be great to have a bit of added, I suppose, diversity there, teams getting through. But it's... what do you think will happen this weekend?
So I didn't think Dublin were going to beat Limerick last year.
No.
If and I don't think anybody did. So like nothing is guaranteed. I kind of feel like they won't have come up against anything like Cork yet. And that speed and ruthlessness and the fact that I think you make three mistakes and Cork could score 1-2.
Yeah.
You know, and the game gets away from you very quickly. And that would concern me. I'd say there'd be a speed of the game that will be very hard to replicate at any other time in any game they've played in their lives. And then I think as well, just the absolute, almost professional ruthlessness that Cork will have. But I hope they're competitive and I hope they give them a game and that we're not looking at it as, oh, great occasion, but it wasn't. It's you're not really watching after 55 minutes you've turned over to the Monaghan Westmeath game.
Do you think?
You know, like,
busy all weekend.
They do, like,
yeah.
There's a lot of sport to watch this weekend.
Do you think we'll ever get to a place where there's sustained? Do you think, and it's a very broad question for 7:15, but do you think that there's ever any chance that hurling can grow meaningfully?
I'm not massively positive about it at the moment.
No, I mean,
I would love it to happen, but I think it's very hard to change the culture. I think if you look at the way the country has always been set up, what I think you could do is grow it within counties. So again, like the West of Clare, for example, could get much stronger hurling wise, and it could become a much bigger part of the culture because they have a county team to latch on to. Likewise in Offaly, likewise in various other counties, maybe in Galway. You know, it spreads more to the north. It's very hard to see, however, it'll be like kids growing up in Mayo or Sligo or the counties up the north, where that'll be the culture and that'll be the way it is. But there are towns where it happens, so maybe it could spread a little bit. I still think way more can be done. I just don't know if we're ever getting to the point where we're talking about it as 30-odd teams operating at full potential. Anyway, thanks for that grim note on this happy story about Offaly's return. Eve, where are we starting?
Well, we're going to start with some World Cup action as 2022 finalists France are in action against Senegal in the first match of the evening. This will be the first competitive meeting between the two countries since Senegal's shock victory in the 2002 World Cup in South Korea, and kickoff for that match is at 8 p.m. while the 11 p.m. kickoff is between Iraq and Norway, and it will be Norway's first World Cup match since exiting at the round of 16 in 1998. And then, as previously alluded to, holders Argentina begin their defence against Algeria in Kansas City at 2 a.m. Irish time, and this will be captain Lionel Messi's 200th cap for his country.
200 caps. Incredible, isn't it? It is a sixth World Cup.
Norway,
Iraq at 11 is almost perfect, because you'll have that's the one you can go to bed at half time.
I'm not watching that.
No?
Maybe.
Have a look at Norway.
Yeah, well, maybe.
See what they're made of. Can they match Sweden's inevitable march to the final?
Yeah.
Should take a Sweden-Norway final now?
Sweden-Norway World Cup final.
Yeah, I'm in a bit of a weird mood here. I need to snap out. Do we remember France? Is anybody old enough to remember France and Senegal first game of 2002 World Cup?
Oh, yeah.
That was an occasion, wasn't it?
That was my first World Cup, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're building up to this Thursday night or whatever it was to watch this game against...
Well, when was it? I feel like it was early in the day, definitely.
It's in Japan. Yeah, of course.
We were in primary school, I think. I feel like things was wheeled in for some reason. I don't know why it'd be wheeled in for France-Senegal. Maybe it was because of the opening game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, I remember that. Being a Man United fan, I think it was big in... I really liked Fabian Barthez. I was, you know... distraught for him.
That was unexpected. So delighted for this African team that has never achieved any success against their old oppressors. But my God, I am so sad for Fabian Barthez.
Yeah.
The World Cup champion from 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah, but it was... Geez, I remember. And didn't they go in the corner that threw down the jersey? Am I misremembering that? Dancing around it for celebrating.
It was Papa Buba Jop who scored, wasn't
it?
He went on to play for Fulham and actually had a really, really good career. He was a... El Hadj Jouf was probably the star of that team, and nobody had ever heard of him at that time. Obviously, Salif Jow, exactly. Yeah, that was like a really good Senegal team, but we didn't know it until the World Cup, which so often happens. And actually, you can kind of see signs of that happening with a few teams. I don't have anyone to mind, but there are teams that kind of like excite you, and you sort of see a bit more of them as the tournament goes on. And then before you know it, seven of them will be playing the Premier League next season.
Yeah. But it was magic. Magic.
It was unbelievable.
Don't know what happened this time.
We didn't know at the time that France were in slight disarray and didn't get out of the group.
Side note, did you watch that thing on Netflix? The 2010 bus one?
The Raymond Domenech one?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
What a gobshite.
I heard.
Not to tie it back, but I suppose he's part of the regeneration in 06.
Yeah.
And then it comes in, but like, my God. When you talk about dysfunction.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That assessment of Domenech is the least surprising thing I heard. And like, you know, but at the same time, I have heard good things about this
great doc.
This doc.
Really good. Probably like a load of exaggerated stuff and thing. And it's really kind of...
That's what Deschamps has done to ruin France for us, though. Because they had this like boomer bust sort of mentality, didn't they? It was like, you know, they'd won 98 and Euro 2000 and then didn't get out of the group in 02, disaster. Nearly win the World Cup in 06, flake out again in 2010. And now it's like, Deschamps comes in, we just get to the final every year, be boring, nobody wants to watch us. I'd be interested to see France tonight, because France are the kind of team that I think a lot of people fancy, but no one even wants to talk about, never mind watch. It's like they're just boring under Deschamps. But, you know, who knows what they'll actually be, I suppose, this team. It will be a new iteration of them once we see them, but like you would like to think that a team with Dembele and Mbappe will be able to excite us at least somewhat.
That's a ludicrous array of are they the most I mean apart from England, whose players we all kind of know to a certain degree, are they the most stacked team full of kind of stars? Probably.
Well, go through their starting lineup for tonight. So they have, I would say they're the most stacked team for sure. Yeah, so they have Maignan in goal. They've Koundé, Saliba, Upamecano, and Theo Hernandez is the back four. Tchouaméni and Rabiot, as you always say, it's
still going.
10 superstars on Rabiot on every French team. And then Elise, Dembele, Doué, and Mbappe.
Decent.
That's not a bad front four.
Is Cherki on the bench?
Cherki, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about him. The only problem with Elise, Dembele, Doué, and Mbappe, are they four of the exact same players?
Yeah.
playing in four positions. It's hard to know because everybody's on the bench in the World Cup, but Cherki is definitely there anyway, along with Mateta, the other Hernandez, Konate on his way to Real Madrid. Marcus Thuram, obviously, So like, there's lots of other players that will come in, I think, over the course of the tournament. But yeah, like, it's a really, really good team.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they play together. But we'll see. Nicholas Jackson, Ismaïla Sarr, Mané, like that's not a bad front three for Senegal to be honest either. Like they're going to be a pretty decent team as well. So look, this is actually one of the best games of the tournament so far. So we're kind of half putting it down, but actually can't wait to watch it. we're going to talk about the story yesterday, though, Eve.
Yeah, Nico. So speaking of really good teams, Shamrock Rovers captain Pico Lopez has been making headlines around the world after Cape Verde's historic point against Spain. Lopez from Crumlin played the full 90 minutes as they held the European champions to a nil-all draw. And he says results like this are why people love the sport.
Yeah, look, I suppose we knew going into the game, we'd be up against it, they'd have most of the ball, like, and we'd have to be resolute in our defending and maybe hope that they had a bit of an off day in terms of like firing at the goal. Like, and look, thankfully, our goalkeeper Brazini as well, he was amazing. Like, and he deserves all the plaudits, like 40 years of age and brilliant performances like that. Like, and I think to a man yesterday defensively, we were very, very good. And probably deserved that point, as you say, like from the attacking point of view, we probably only showed maybe that bit of danger like towards the end, like when the subs came on, they really helped us get us through the game. Like, but yeah, to get a point, as you say, against a massive team, like, and us not expected to get anything from it, like, it just goes to show why we loved the game.
That's brilliant. Did you hear the story of Ray Houghton? Ray Houghton has a picture up with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was commentating on the game and wanted to see him. And David Snaid was saying on Second Captains yesterday that he went in to give him a hug or whatever. And he was like, just enjoy it, mate. Just enjoy it. Like, you know, it goes. And Pico was like, it was only a draw. I like that attitude.
Yeah.
I think it was only a joke. I think he was only a joke. Yeah, like that's absolute story of the World Cup for us so far, but it does seem to be story of the World Cup elsewhere as well. I've seen a lot of kind of like stories about, you know, the famous LinkedIn in Portuguese, LinkedIn in English story that we all know is kind of popping up in American media as well.
It's a nice story. People like hearing it and again and again and again and again online. Yeah. It's like every second tweet on my page right now.
Yeah, hugely. And the keeper.
Mm.
Yeah, 40-year-old keeper.
Yeah,
who was one of the man the match, one of the players in the match yesterday. A couple of texts in here. John put me in my place about how many people will be watching Austria and who are they playing?
Jordan.
Mick, there are literally hundreds of people who watch a Rock This Report, which is probably fair enough, and probably its rival at 5 a.m. on for the Austria-Jordan game. Owen asked, the US networks use different filters on their cameras because everything always looks more bright and colourful, including interior stuff like the Dutch jerseys looked radioactive against Japan. The Dutch jerseys were insane. You couldn't see the black on the jersey at all, the numbers.
There was a difference, though, between definitely what you were seeing on RTE and what you were seeing on BBC.
Was there?
Yeah, because so I had someone saying that as well, but like it was fine on RTE. I was watching like...
I saw that game on RTE, though, and I thought the orange was incredibly bright, yeah. No, it's not that I didn't like it,
it didn't strike me as particularly odd, but...
The Scotland, so I mentioned, obviously, I was in Scotland at the weekend, and everybody is wearing that their jersey that they wore against the other night against Haiti. I've never seen a more ubiquitous jersey in my life, by the way. Every Scottish person must have just bought it. You see it in the crowd as well. They're all wearing it. I don't really know what's so great about it. Yes, that's I fell into my bait.
Oh, no.
That jersey's orange.
Ah.
It is 100% red on TV.
Is it orange? Like in real life?
I saw 10,000 of them at the weekend, so unless they're all fakes.
Jesus, okay. And,
or they were in too high a wash or something like that. It's actually very, it is an orange and navy that is so like the orange and navy shades for the popular Scottish soft drink, Iron Brew, that I'm convinced it's inspired by it. And that's why everybody's buying it.
Well, I hope it is.
But yeah, I hope it is too. I think that would be brilliant.
It is lovely.
But it's very much orange. Like, it's a dark orange.
Yeah.
But it's not red. It's not the colour you're seeing on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And likewise, I saw a lot of pictures of Spain yesterday, like in still images, in like news sites and stuff today. And their shorts and sleeve, which looks very much navy on the TV, looks far more blue, like royal blue, like that Spain sometimes wear. So I don't know what's going on there. So I don't know the answer to your question, Owen, but yeah, I suppose there must be something going on. Okay, so Ben's giving me here, the SFA called the skits scarlet red, fans referring to Iron Brew colour. So, okay, it's more of an orange than a red. You have to see it in real life to kind of know what I mean, but it's not the colour it appears on TV. Another text here saying, lads, I fell asleep waiting for a late one. The missus shook me at 5 a.m. to the sound of the morning chorus. You're 69, John. You're too old for this crack, says John Limerick. Very true. In 2014, when living in Southeast Asia, I watched all of the World Cup games, which were stayed in Brazil, blind the following morning. Harder to avoid the news now, though. So that's in terms of watching it as recordings. And somebody said, let Kerry siblings play in different counties. What's this? I don't really understand what that's a badly written text, Roy, so maybe send it in again and we'll figure out what it is. Will Senegal upset France like in 02, says on the game on YouTube. They are the champions of Africa, controversially or not.
Not technically.
Wait, did they win or lose that game?
No, they got it taken off them.
Oh, yeah.
Morocco are the champions of Africa.
The champions of Africa on the field. And
well, yeah, but not because they left it, yeah.
little asterisk beside their name. They're appealing it.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, they're the second team in Africa versus the second team in the world. This is a good team. This is a team that actually could do something in the World Cup, I think. So I don't know if
it was very quite dumb, as big dumb fiesque of you.
I don't know if it was quite as big an upset as it was in 2002.
No.
Senegal got something tonight.
Definitely not.
Oh, I'm going to continue.
Yeah, sorry.
So, speaking of other World Cup news, Tunisia have appointed Hervé Renard as their new head coach following the sacking of Sabri Lamouche yesterday. He's a familiar face at international level, having previously managed Morocco at the 2018 World Cup and Saudi Arabia in 2022.
This is a bold move.
Isn't it? By who?
By Tunisia, his sacking their manager after a game.
Nothing to lose, do you? Like, you get one win, you might get two.
I feel
two.
Like you get the World Cup if you're a manager, don't you?
Not if you lose 5-1 to Sweden, I don't think. I mean, as good as they are.
Like, won all after an hour.
Psychologically, you know, new manager bounce for...
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be interested to see. Okay, we got some draws outside of the World Cup. League of Ireland teams getting some familiar names in the early rounds of Europe.
Oh, yes. So Shamrock Rovers have been drawn against Maltese side Floriana FC in the Champions League first qualifying round draw. And while Derry City have been drawn against Bulgarian side CSKA Sofia in the Europa League equivalent. And then in the Conference League, Bohemians will face St. Joseph's from Gibraltar. Shelburne, of course, received a first round bye and will find their opponents tomorrow. And then Women's Premier Division champions Athlone Town will discover their first round opponent tomorrow as well.
Okay. It does feel like Floriana and St. Joseph's come up against Irish teams a lot. Floriana, previously managed, of course, by...
You said it earlier, so I don't seem like I know, yeah.
Roddy Collins.
Yeah.
Of course. So the Roddy Collins derby there in the first round of the Champions League between Rovers and Floriana. Big news in the world of management today. It was hinted at yesterday, but confirmed today. AC Milan have a new manager.
They do, and it is former Manchester United boss Ruben Amorim. Amorim, of course, sacked by Man United in January with the club in sixth place in the league. They ultimately finished third under Michael Carrick. And Amorim is replacing Allegri, who lost his job after failing to secure Champions League football with a fifth place finish in Serie A.
Were they sixth when he left? Felt lower.
They were sixth, but like six only a slight. Few points above the bottom of the table.
Yeah,
it was all very condensed.
Very tight, yeah. He's if you just take what he did at Sporting, it feels like current AC Milan is almost the right next level. You almost pretend the whole Manchester United thing never happened.
Yeah, I guess it did though. So it's a weird old job for him. Like maybe I'd say it's too good to turn down. But
what should he have done? How do you rehabilitate yourself after?
It depends how you see it. It depends how he sees it, doesn't it? Like it depends how he regards the whole thing. Like does he consider himself betrayed? To be fair to him, he's held his counsel. Up till now, I don't think he's spoken publicly about it. So maybe he's at peace with it. Like he hasn't tried to settle any. Now, to be fair to him, he had about a week or two to do it before they started seemingly winning at will. but it's they flow through managers. Do you know? Like it. Like
they do. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, who has successfully rehabilitated themselves after a failed Man United gig? Taking Jose Mourinho out of the equation as like an outlier.
Moyes, I suppose.
Moyes went back to Pard, and he never had the same. He's never going to get the job again, so I guess he is at a lower ebb.
Ten Hag hasn't.
No.
Solskjaer hasn't.
No.
No. No, it's a good point. Louis van Gaal was at the end of his career. Jose certainly, hasn't. He wouldn't have been at that. All his success definitely came before Manchester United, really, although he is the Real Madrid manager for some reason. it's an interesting point, yeah. Maybe it's in full-on poison chalice territory at the moment, but we'll see for Amorim. I don't know, the bigger issue for him isn't the failure at United. I think it's so striking that he had such blindness to obvious solutions. When he was United manager, like the Mainu thing or the Fernandez thing, whatever way you want to look at that choice of what he picked in midfield, it was so easily fixed. The dogs in the street knew what was wrong with the team and how it could be fixed, and yet he didn't see it or was unwilling to back down from his beliefs, and that would make me worry if I was appointing him. And also, as Arthur mentions, they go through managers pretty quickly over there. There was 1 year of Allegri, 1 year of Conceição, I think, I'm not sure the one before that, but I think it might be 3 1-year managers in a row at AC Milan. So it's almost like if this doesn't work, then what? You know?
Yeah.
It's hard to know. It's funny because it would be such an unremarkable move had the Man United thing not happened for him. We wouldn't even think about commenting on it. It's no. Like, oh, it's the sporting boss in for the thing. Like, so that's, I think it's a good measure of how much more scrutiny he's under, even though it's like, even though, you know, he'd be under more scrutiny if he'd gone straight from Sporting to Milan, but because he's gone through that side door,
yeah,
it's like everything he does is news.
Absolutely.
Whether he kicks it, you know, everything. He'll always be, or at least for the foreseeable, he'll be the former Man United manager, Ruben Amorim, has been sacked by AC Milan.
Failed former Manchester United manager.
Has been sacked by AC Milan.
Oh. has won Serie A in a surprising moment. Yeah, who knows? He did have a lot of success at Sporting, like, you know, well, like, it was in a short period of time, but Sporting don't win too many leagues, you know.
Maybe.
Porto won it this year without him. Bit of a blow ahead of the URC final.
Yes, so it was announced yesterday that Andrew Porter has been ruled out of the URC final this week. He sustained a calf injury during Leinster's semi-final win against the Stormers, and Leinster's scrum coach Robin McBride told Off the Ball Susanna Mullen that this will provide an opportunity for someone else to prove themselves.
Yeah, unfortunately for Andrew, he's had a bit of bad luck this season, really. So what that does do, it presents somebody else with an opportunity. And in fairness to the boys, whoever's filled that number one shirt, they've done pretty well. And I know you can add Jack Boyle and Paddy McCarthy's names to the injury list. But in fairness to the other boys as well, you've got Ed Byrne, Jerry Cahir, Alex Usunov. You've got those three who've stepped up, and they've done admirably during the season for us as well. So, yeah, as disappointing as it is, it gives somebody else an opportunity as well.
Okay. We're hearing, 30,000 or so tickets sold?
I saw that earlier,
far, yeah. So I also think, like, it'd be interesting to see how much of an injury this is for Porter, because I don't think Ireland will be too delighted if they're not able to bring him to Australia and New Zealand in a month's time as well. So, that's the rugby we have. What's next, sorry?
We have some huge news for Irish tennis, as Dublin's Conor Gannon is through to the round of 16 in the ATP Dublin Challenger 75. He defeated Bernard Tomic, who's been ranked as high as number 17 in the world, in 3 sets this afternoon. And then tomorrow he's going to face former world number 3, Grigor Dimitrov, in Elm Park.
Well, great news. Yeah. More tennis news, something we might talk a little bit about on tomorrow's show.
Yes, that the Venus and Serena Williams will return to Wimbledon later this month after receiving wild cards for the women's doubles. Serena returning after a 4-year absence, while Venus most recently played doubles with Katie Bolter in Madrid. The duo have won 6 women's doubles titles in SW19. And although neither player has received a wild card for the singles draw, there is still one yet to be awarded.
Okay, and T20 World Cup then to finish.
Yes, so the Irish women's cricketers face a tough opponent in their second match at the T20 Women's World Cup today. They face tournament host England, having lost their opener to Scotland on Saturday. That was supposed to get underway at 6:30, however, there was a rain delay, and so it's just got underway in the last few moments.
Okay. Thanks for that, Eve. Roy has been back. He's blaming predictive text for me not being able to read his text. He says, let children of GEA club members, of Kerry GEA club members living in different counties, play for the Kerry Hurlers and lift the last Munster county and attack the rest of the country from there. You could probably do that, to be honest. I don't think there's, like, you can transfer to counties. Like, you know, it's like Pat Spillane plays for Sligo because his mother is from there. You know, I don't think that's massively an issue. But it's certain. Look, I think there's loads of different things you could be trying to do, and I do think that Willie Maher will try to do them. I suppose Arthur's point is it going to change more than, are we, you know, can we do a few little things to help? Of course we can. Is the culture going to massively change where, you know, counties who we don't think of as hurling counties at all are going to be competing with Cork, Kilkenny and Tipperary? That's a lot more difficult.
It always just seems that there's a county or two who are on an upward trend, and by some divine power of the universe, there always has to be the other counties who were on the upward trend have now gone into the lower one. Because I suppose it doesn't...
It's almost the numbers.
Exactly, and I suppose it's exactly the reason why Waterford can't get out of Munster. Whereas like you just happen to have in Cork, Limerick and Tip by and large, or Cork, Limerick and Clare by and large and Tip sporadically, just counties that are just ruthlessly efficient and consistent.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get out.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, the news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following farmer's consultation. Thanks a million to Eve and Arthur. Up next, we're going to talk about the US Open with Shane Ryan.
News Talk Summer Cash Machine.
Yes, the cash machine has been reloaded and there's going to be another guaranteed winner, a record winner at that. The number you need to know is €307,000. €307,000. There are two ways to enter. You can visit newstalk.com/cash machine where you can enter online, or you can text play to 57557. That's 57557. Get your entry in by 3 p.m. on Friday, June 19th. Then across the Go Loud network of stations, someone will get the call. If your phone rings, answer it within five rings. Give us the exact amount in euro and cents and you will win the cash. So remember that amount, €307,000. For over 18s only, text costs €2.50 plus your standard message rate to play. You're playing across the Go Loud network of stations, and terms and conditions are on newstalk.com.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.